This is Heather Johnson, and you're listening to the Ayurveda Life School podcast, episode number 146, Stop the People Pleasing. This podcast is for people who want to take their health physically, emotionally, and spiritually to a whole new level using Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing tradition from India. This is the Ayurveda Life School podcast, and I'm your host, Heather Johnson. Hello, my friends. It's great to have you here on the podcast today. I've had a few experiences happen this last little bit that I just wanted to kind of talk through with you, and I hope it will help other people, because this idea of people pleasing is something that we hear kind of as a psychological term or a pop culture term, but I've been thinking more about what it means because of some experiences that I've had recently. So when we look from an Ayurvedic standpoint, our intention or goal, right, is to live our best, highest self, to be authentically us. And really, you're the only one that can be authentically you. But we tend to get in these cycles where we want other people to affirm who we are, or we want other people to give us validation or praise us or say we're amazing. And that helps to bolster our view of who we are. We really can't see ourselves realistically. And sometimes I often wonder, well, gosh, what do I look like from the outside? Not physically, but who I am as a person. How am I showing up when people say that? How am I showing up? I wonder, what does that really look like? Because, you know, you're the only person that can't see yourself. And so you probably have the least amount of credibility when it comes to understanding who you really are. But when it comes to needing affirmation from the outside to help bolster how we feel on the inside, that's a problem, because people are not always going to love us. I like the idea that if I was an ice cream flavor, and I hope that I would be a complex one, right, with a little bit of chocolate in there and maybe some caramel and a little bit of nuts thrown in for the days that I'm a little crazy, maybe a base of some delicious, rich, creamy vanilla. But I would hope that there would be people who would like that flavor, knowing that not everyone's going to like that flavor. And when we understand that intellectually, it doesn't always reach the heart, because in our heart, many of us want people to like us. They want people to think that what we're doing is good. They want to hear words of praise, right? Affirmations about how amazing we are, how we did a great job at something. And I think that we're trained in that from the time that we're young, because our parents would often give us praise. We would look for outside validation of either our intelligence or our worth through the academic system, especially in school, right? They're always giving you grades. And I grew up the second child of five, and was very much identifying with achievement. For whatever reason, my brother got to be kind of the screwball. He was the, you know, class clown, very charismatic, always a good leader. He was the funny one. Whereas I felt like I filled this role of being studious. And I've studied birth order and how we each kind of fall into our own space in that way. And I think I really lived the first child syndrome as the first girl, because I tended to really want to be, you know, perfect and do everything properly. And in school, that led to a lot of stress and desire to always get straight A's and always do really well. And then I start looking at it from an Ayurvedic standpoint. And I think that any dosha can fall into this, whether you're Vata, Pitta, or Kapha. You can have this need to please others, this need to show up looking like you got it all together, right? Because we just don't want that outside criticism coming in. And I think it's an evolutionary growth for us to come to a place where we're okay letting the chinks in our armor show and letting ourselves be authentically human and have human experiences and be forgiving of them, both to ourselves and let other people be forgiving if they choose. And I think it ultimately comes down to something my daughter said to me the other day. She's got these girls at school, and we're new in this school this year. She's done amazingly well making friends, and she's so social and outgoing, and she's very different here than she was when we moved from Utah. In Utah, she was a lot more reserved. She was very concerned about saying the wrong thing, having people make fun of her. But for whatever reason, we moved to Jackson, and she had this new opportunity to just be her. And so she has just been her in a big way, and it's amazing to see how much people flock to that authenticity. But there's a couple girls that don't care for her. Now we're talking middle school age. This is a really challenging age of life. And so there's a couple girls that don't like her. One in particular who just loves to say mean things, give her the look, you know, the look you get when one girl doesn't like another girl. And so they tend to have some interactions on occasion. And my daughter will tell me about them. And I always was worried at the beginning that this was going to be really negative for her, that she was going to end up the recipient of a mean girl situation. And as we talked through it, it was amazing to see how this last year she's really grown in affirming her own worth and not needing that to come from other people. So even this girl not liking her, she said, "Her not liking me has nothing to do with me. It's actually none of my business." And I thought that was the most brilliantly mature and enlightened way to look at it, to realize that what this other girl thought, her opinions, her, the things she said, the way she talked about my daughter has nothing to do with my daughter. It has much more to do with that girl herself. And it ultimately isn't even my daughter's business, because what you think about someone is really your own business. And so if you think something about me, that's your business. And if I think something about you, that's my business. And to have that realization. So let's fast forward, or rewind as it were, to an experience that I had this past weekend as I was teaching a class, and I felt a little bit confronted by one of the students. And it was an interesting moment for me, because as a teacher, you want to have the answers. You want to know what the right thing is to say. You want to present in a way that is clear for people, that they're getting value out of it. And I put so much heart and energy into my teaching. So just like this podcast, when I teach people, whether it's virtual or it's live or it's one-on-one, I really put a lot of myself into it, because I know how transformative Ayurveda can be. And I want to portray that information in a way that helps people to implement and use it. So in this setting, which was a virtual setting, I was confronted a little bit. I felt like I was kind of called out by one of the students. And it was so surprising that in that moment, it was amazing how my desire to people please came to the forefront, and my desire to not look like I didn't know what I was doing came to the forefront. And I think we all have those moments of weakness or insecurity where we're feeling like maybe we're imposters. We're not really the person that we say that we are or that we hope to portray to the world. And for me, that was that moment. And it's interesting because I don't have that happen that often, but it was revelatory to me, because the situation itself was probably way bigger in my feelings and my emotions and my mind than it would look like to anyone observing. But it gave me food for thought. So this last couple of days, I've spent a lot of time journaling and writing and thinking and reading and walking and doing more thinking about why I had the reaction that I did to the situation. And I've had to think through, how did that person's comment have such an ability to affect me so deeply? And I'm sure we've all been in situations like that. I'm sure you've been in situations like that, where someone says something or does something that on the surface shouldn't be that big of a deal, but for some reason it's very impactful to you in a way that has you questioning your abilities or maybe your role or if you really are good enough for something. And for me, it was actually really a struggle. And I was talking with my husband about it, and it's really nice to be married to your best friend, because then you can tell them all the things and they can help you sort through all of these thoughts. So I just kind of unloaded on him all these thoughts that I was having that really had not very much to do with this person, but more to do with me, my reaction, why I was feeling a certain way. And ultimately he said to me, "Well, it sounds like it's an ego situation," which of course made my ego rise more. And I thought, oh my goodness, he's calling me out again. Here we are. And so I thought, okay, maybe it really is ego. Is it ego involved here? And I came down to the fact that it wasn't so much ego as it was a desire to people please. And then I got to thinking, well, is that actually ego? When we are trying to please other people at our expense, or we're trying to please other people so that they interpret us to be someone specific in their eyes, is that a form of ego? And I ultimately think it is. I think it's a form of trying to maybe disguise who we really are, or being afraid to show any kind of vulnerability. And I really love Brené Brown's work. I think that she's an amazing, amazing psychologist. And if you haven't read any of her books. One of my favorite ones that she wrote is called Daring Greatly, but she has quite a few books that she's written. So as I've been reading Brené Brown's, it made me think of an experience that she had where she was teaching a class and she had a negative response from some of the students, and the way that it spiraled her kind of into this feeling of, well, I'm never teaching again. And when these kinds of experiences happen, I think that is sometimes our knee-jerk reaction is, well, I'm never putting myself in that situation again where I can be vulnerable or potentially get hurt. And it holds us back from so many things. And right now I'm in the middle of working on the cleanse program that's coming up at the end of March. And so I'm doing a lot of videoing and a lot of content writing and just getting everything ready, which I'm super excited. I'll tell you more about it in a minute. But I'm super excited for this program, but it almost like felt deflating for a little bit. Like I didn't have the enthusiasm or the energy or excitement to want to work on it. And so I got to analyze and think about that one too. And something that I like to use when my mind is kind of out of control or my ego is taking over and allowing my thoughts to spin in a negative direction is two things, actually, two tools. So I'll share with you two things that can help when we're in this situation. First one is a thought download. This is literally just writing down stream of consciousness. Everything that's coming up for you, everything that you're thinking about, the ruminations, the repeated constant thoughts. Maybe you're repeating a sentence in your head or there's a continual thought that you're creating. It's writing all of those things down. And they're not very pretty most of the time. So they tend to be a little bit kind of convoluted. You might be repeating yourself. You might see this problem being written over and over again, or you might just have a hard time even writing down your thoughts, even expressing them. But it's a really good opportunity to get it out of you, okay? And for me, that was helpful too, to share it with my husband because he's a safe space for me. So if you want to share it with someone or you want to write it down, you just got to get those thoughts out so you can look at them, because thoughts just spiraling in your brain can be a little bit dangerous. It's like you're getting caught up in that tamasic, heavy, darker energy instead of let's bring it into the light. Let's put some light on it so we can see what's happening. So that's one tool that I like to use. Another tool is called doing a thought model. And I get this from the Life Coach School, Brooke Castillo. She's an amazing teacher. And this is something that I've implemented in my life. And we use it often with my coaching and with my clients because they really can use an examination of thoughts. Because on a subtle level, the thought energy that we have affects the vibrations within our body, and it can literally impact your health. So if our thoughts are on a low vibrating scale, they're creating that heaviness, we're not having movement of energy through the body, we can actually create disease through negative thinking. So it's good for us to get these thoughts out. And it's not always just that they're negative, but they maybe don't serve us. So when we do this thought model, and I've talked about this before in previous episodes, but we first look at the circumstance. Look at the thing that happened that's outside of us, that's objective, that anyone can agree upon. So in this situation, with me, it could be a person said this sentence, right? So I could write down the sentence. A person said this sentence to me. But then I had to create a thought about it, because not everyone's going to have the same thought. So this is where the uniqueness of the individual comes in. So this sentence was said to me, and then there was a thought that I had about it. So I would write down the thought, and it could be something very specific, like the thought could say, I am not a good teacher. Okay, so that could be my thought, is I'm not a good teacher. And then we look at what kind of feeling did that create in me. And it could create, we want to look at one word responses here. So it could create embarrassment. It could create nervousness. It could create fear. It could create hiding or withdrawal. Okay, so we look at what was the feeling that came out of that. And it could be really simple. It could make me sad. It could make me angry. It could make me feel depressed. I mean, anything that you're feeling. Then we look at what is the action that happens from that. And we can really see this when we start to look at the things that we're doing on a daily basis. So from this example, the action would be, I didn't teach as well, right? I was not teaching as powerfully when I was thinking these thoughts and feeling these feelings. So the result is I wasn't as good of a teacher. And what is so interesting about that is that you take that result, you tie it into that thought, and if it matches, then you know you've done your thought model properly. So if my result was, I'm not as good of a teacher, and my thought was, I'm not a good teacher, I've just reinforced this thought pattern, this thought spiral. So we have to really look at what are the thoughts we're having first, then we can work to shift them. So maybe we could replace it with a different thought of, this person expected a different kind of teaching. And then maybe my feeling from that was neutral. I mean, it really is none of my business what kind of teaching that they were expecting, right? I'm showing up to teach the way I teach and they can receive or not receive. So my feeling could be, you know, nothing. I could be calm. I could be peaceful. I could be relaxed. I could be curious. Curious about, well, what kind of teaching were they interested in? Which changes my actions, changes my results. So when we look at our entire world as how am I controlling and managing my thoughts, and how am I interacting with others and trying to people please them? Those are a couple different things to just think about. And when we come back full circle to living our highest best self, being the intention of our existence and overcoming the ego, situations that actually confront us are more like opportunities. Rather than being something that we shy away from and we avoid and we're annoyed by or upset by, we can think, wow, this is an amazing opportunity that I've been presented to look at what I'm thinking, to look at how I'm responding, to see what's going on within the ego. And can I look at this from a higher space? Can I shift my energy to a higher plane? Now, when we look at doshas, we see that vata, pitta, and kapha can react to things differently, right? Kaphas tend to withdraw from situations. Pitta tends to confront. And vata gets very sensitive, and they can kind of go either way, right? When they're in an upset situation, they're most likely to flee the situation, which is a little different than withdrawal. So we look at, okay, how am I responding? And in that situation, I couldn't really flee. I mean, I was in the middle of teaching a class and I couldn't really withdraw very much because I was also teaching, but it wouldn't have been appropriate for me to confront either. So it's difficult because we want to show up authentically, but we also want to do it with love because the ultimate highest vibrating emotion is love. And we want to be able to show love in these situations. Now that's different than people pleasing, right? People pleasing is not showing love to you. Or really love to that other person because you are morphing who your best highest self is to match what you think they want. Instead, if we show up as our best highest self and allow them to receive what is beneficial for them and to let go of what they don't need, then it becomes their business, right? Really, your relationship with other people ends as soon as you engage because they can receive it however they choose to receive it. And if we look at the fact that we're in relationship with any person we ever come in contact with. Like I'm in relationship with you. You're listening to this podcast. We have a relationship of some kind. Even though we haven't met, right? I am sharing and giving of myself and my heart and my experiences. And you can receive those or you can dismiss them. But it really has none of my business what you do with them. And you also don't have to be impacted by me unless you choose to be. Right? So when we're people pleasing, or we'll say coming from ego, trying to stay safe and not be vulnerable, no one can ever really know who you truly are. Not even yourself. You can't know who you are if you're always changing and being different to make other people happy. And if the ultimate goal is to evolve and become your best highest self, how on earth will we do that? Literally on earth, how on earth will we do that if we're never truly being who we are? So my challenge to myself and to you today is to really look at where are you living in your life from a place of ego protection. So ego is trying to save you from having negativity coming towards you. And you're thinking it's a way to protect who you are. Consider that perhaps it's a way that's keeping you from figuring out who you actually are and living from that space. So as I've done this work this week on this thoughts and the situation that I was encountering, I was relating it in my mind to how this is affected when we go through things like this cleanse that's coming up. Because when we do a cleanse, we're stripping away buffers, things that allow us to kind of hide from our best highest self. And we might be confronted and we might be confronted with emotions and with thoughts and with energy that we don't want to feel, but it's an opportunity. Remember I said these confrontations and when you get quote called out, it's an opportunity to grow and to learn and to become something even more than you are right now. So I invite you to use these tools I shared to look at your egoic self and where you're hiding from your best, highest self, right? By people pleasing, and to look into maybe doing this cleanse with us. It is an awesome experience. It's such a great way for us to really delve deeper into who we truly are, to show up as our authentic self in a safe space where it's okay to not have it all together. And you will learn as you work with me through this that I don't ever pretend to have it all together either. And I'm working hard, just as hard as you are, on living authentically and trying to be my best highest self, realizing that I often fall short, but it's the striving that creates the growth. So if you want to come and join us in that cleanse group, it starts on March 25th, and you can learn more at ayurvedalifeschool.com/seasonalcleanse. It's a 16-day experience. We have a week of preparation ahead of time, so from the 25th till the end of the month. And then on April 1st, we start 16 days of cleansing. And it is a beautiful Ayurvedic cleanse. I'm with you literally every step of the way. And we have guided calls. We have check-in calls every single day. You get a guided book that teaches you exactly what to do. Lots of videos, yoga, meditation, tutorials, all kinds of goodies. So come and check it out, ayurvedalifeschool.com/seasonalcleanse. And have a beautiful week. Stop your people pleasing. Just be who you are, okay? Let people see the beauty within you, and I will try to do the same. We'll talk to you next week. Namaste.
Before you go, was this episode helpful for you? Well, the most helpful thing you can do in return is to leave a review in iTunes. The reviews are what keep the podcast going. And be sure to subscribe and share this episode if you loved it.
You can connect with me online at ayurvedalifeschool.com. on Instagram, and on Facebook at Ayurveda Life School. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.